Hello and welcome to
Ghost Bees,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Trying to be high energy for this because I'm not feeling high energy. We watched X from 2022, I think. From 2022, directed by Ty West. I'm a big Ty West fan. Mm-hmm. For me, this is all the way back to House of the Devil. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, we probably watched it together. But I love House of the Devil. He also did a shortened VHS, the original one that I really liked. And he did The Sacrament, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But this series with X, Pearl, and Maxine is like, it's just so cool. Like, we'll get into it, but I think a lot of people have seen these movies. They become like real powerhouses, especially Pearl.
Yeah.
We wanted to rewatch both of these before Maxine comes out because, of course, we're super excited. Do I keep putting my arm on your knee?
I'm sorry. You put it on my kneecap, and my kneecap is like shifting.
I'm sorry. But yeah, we saw X around when it first came out, liked it a great deal. We were definitely in some kind of headspace where it just freaked us the fuck out. Like, it was very intense.
Yeah.
Didn't feel as intense this time watching it.
Yeah, I remember when we first watched this, we were like holding on to each other. Like, oh my God, it's so scary.
I don't know what was going on in our lives at the time. I think it's funny because there is something I want to go into when we talk about like the themes of the movie. But if we're staying spoiler free right now, for anyone who hasn't seen it, I mean, the best way I can describe it is this takes place in a very specific time in history. It's in 79, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I guess there's this, there's some kind of wave going on in the pornography business. And there's people who are really trying to become stars, you know, through this, which factors into, I guess, like all three movies.
Yeah.
And you can see how, like, basically at every point in history, this has been like a very exploitative industry. So it has a lot to do with the pursuit of fame and what that means, and leaving, you know, what's the term?
A mark.
Yeah, leaving your mark on history and being remembered. Which plays into the other part of the themes that I'll get to when we talk spoilers, because I don't want to get into that too much here, mm-hmm. even though it's really like kind of on the surface. Because, yeah, they go to some old farmhouse like in the middle of nowhere with this very old couple running the place. It's very like Texas Chainsaw coded.
Yeah,
I remember feeling that heavily when the trailers were coming out originally. And I think it plays with that like super well. Even though it's not like a direct, you can't like compare them directly. It's more like the setting and the vibe, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of inspired shots and how they approach like with the, like on the Texas Chainsaw side. I'll get into some of the other influences I saw in the spoilers, but you know, like how they're in the van going to the farmhouse
And the police, like looking at the crime scene at the very beginning of the movie. Like the aftermath.
Right.
But yeah, and there's an old couple running it who basically turn into the antagonists, which we're not going to spoil, what I meant to say is, which isn't really a spoiler. I mean, that's like the setup that you can get from the trailers. But there is some interesting stuff that they go into as far as like the why and how it ties into the themes. So I won't talk about that just yet. But it does a lot of super interesting stuff with that, which is part of why I think that these movies are just so well regarded.
Oh yeah,
because I loved it so much watching it again.
Well, watching it again, especially if you've already seen Pearl, it's like a whole new movie watching it again almost.
Oh yeah,
with all the story that you have.
Well, it's because that's what's so interesting. So the other thing I was going to get to is just overall this whole concept of making three movies that are tied together in these like interesting ways where it's really just exploring all these different facets of this one theme and wrapping it up in something that is like a really thrilling horror movie. I think it's just such a cool idea. And these are the kind of big swings I want to see more like this. Because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
And even just the way that X and Pearl came out really close together and there's a long wait for Maxine, it's like, it just made it feel like extra exciting, the lead up to Maxine. Because it sounds like Maxine's going to be very different from what I've heard.
Yeah. I think Maxine has been like one of my most anticipated like horror films for like a while now.
Oh, yeah. And I just realized this time, again, this isn't spoiling anything, I don't think, that the Maxine, it's the same character from this movie.
You see her in the poster.
Well, so, I thought, because what they did with Pearl, I thought that, like, the three movies were supposed to be these three different characters, all played by Mia Goth. So I didn't realize, it's the same character going into the next one. But that's another part of this that's so fascinating, is the way that they use Mia Goth to play these different roles. And it works into the themes that, like, this is a challenge, like, this pursuit of fame and everything, like we said. It's, like, intergenerational. And it's the same issue across different locations, different time periods in history. And it really plays into also the fear of aging, which is kind of universal. And it's something that is like really scary that maybe because we're getting older is like way more effective for me, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the fear of aging here, like as a new horror concept almost, I feel like, or as a refined concept.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, there was a movie Old, which was...
I don't think that really...
I don't know.
That's like the pulp version of this. This isn't really... It didn't have a lot to say about that. Yeah. And I liked Old. I thought it was fun.
It was okay.
But it's silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does... I think there's something to taking these like primal fear concepts and figuring out like how can we tap into that? And it's not just about, you know, some scary person chasing you with a knife, even though there is... that in this movie, it feels like it on the like wide macro level, it's playing into this different type of fear, and it works super well.
Yes.
It just adds to why it's so original and so effective. I really, really like this movie.
I really like this movie too.
Yeah, I definitely recommend watching Pearl with this. They're definitely like companion movies, which is part of why, that the whole concept is so interesting, that these movies play off of each other in this weird way. Because Pearl, without going into that, because we'll have an episode on that, it takes place before this movie. So it's like an interesting way to handle the timeline and then to have the third movie be a sequel in a different time period during the 80s. And I mean, make no mistake, it might be about some like concept like that, you know, and that's what makes it ultimately scary. There's still plenty of blood and guts and it gets pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of brutality that happens. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen it by now, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And definitely I recommend watching it in the order it came out and then going back and watching it again.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Let's just go into spoilers. So yeah, I think the movie does such an effective job playing with every piece.
You were saying
gentle. But the way it plays with so many different themes and works them into each other, because even like the sexuality of the movie, it's like it's very pulpy and like it's pretty graphic with that.
Yeah.
But then even that, when we talk about the overall fear of like getting older and like reflecting what you've done with your life and everything, I did notice the way that the sex scene was shot between Pearl and her husband is like shot very differently.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because they make a whole point of when they're shooting the pornographic scenes to like really accentuate and try to make it into like, you know, look extra sexy and everything. And then when they're having sex, it's like this long overhead camera, like the worst angle in this dirty room. And it feels like very intentional.
Oh, definitely.
But it is fun how, you know, partly I think one of the smart things about using the Texas Chainsaw kind of imagery is that right from the gate, you know, there isn't a lot going on as far as like danger. There's no obvious threat in the beginning, but the movie still makes you feel like really uneasy.
Yeah.
And, you know, comparing it to Texas Chainsaw is part of that. The way it's so isolated and the old man is just like so aggressive and weird. Yeah. It just, everything feels like wrong.
Yeah.
And definitely makes it feel like there's just some danger lurking. Mm-hmm. And I think it really builds up to the lake scene, which everybody knows because it's such a classic scene. When she's swimming and then you have the high overhead view and the gator like slowly comes in the frame and following her. It's a perfect representation of like that sneaking danger that they aren't even aware of, that they're just surrounded by. Because clearly in what we get from the sequel, Pearl may be a bit of a unhinged and dangerous individual.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that she's such an old woman, it's like she still manages to feel like really threatening.
Yeah. She's held on to a lot of bitterness her whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was something that always freaked me out. Like even the first time we watched it is just how when they're in the farmhouse, it's like there's no fucking light. Like everything is so dark.
Yeah.
And it does something weird. It just feels like so uncomfortable. And it's like these old people are now like living in this darkness. And even the way they when they show the two of them, they're always like shrouded by darkness and like in shadow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that visually does a good job at differentiating them as well. Like there's a real clear visual language to this movie that works super well.
Yeah. They really capture the same kind of Texas Chainsaw aesthetic. Like in the house, like it's old and creepy, and especially like the TV playing like the Jesus stuff. And
yeah. Yeah. I think the way they like finally let it go loose, isn't it when the cameraman runs into Pearl, who at this point is like all revved up from watching these youngsters have sex in the other house. And that kill is so brutal.
Oh yeah. It's bleak.
Yeah. I think it's from that point on that it really just amps up and, yeah, it does a good job making these two frail individuals still feel so dangerous.
Yeah.
And part of that is almost building this, like, lore and making you curious about, like, you know, what is Pearl's history? What is this couple's history? You know, which really I think is what built up the sequel movie. Because it's just such a fascinating concept that, you know, they use Mia Goth as the lead, like the final girl in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she also plays Pearl with excessive makeup on. And I think I didn't even recognize that the first time I saw the movie.
I didn't recognize that the first time either.
But yeah. I think I had to read about it afterwards. And it was like, really? And even this time when I knew about it and I was like looking out for it, it was like, Jesus, like she's so unrecognizable.
Yeah.
So that was super effective.
Yeah, it really lends to her acting skill. Like, she's so top tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do just enough to, like, you know, build up these two characters and make you interested in, like, what was their life like that led up to this, you know?
Yeah. I was definitely wondering that a lot during the film. But also the way that, from that kill you're talking about, the cameraman.
Yeah.
The jealous boyfriend cameraman.
Yeah.
That, I feel like, does almost like a psycho turn where it was that same, like, with the shower scene.
Yeah.
Like, how it just, like, transitions over. It's like, okay, now we're going to hear about this old lady and what the hell happened. At least some of it.
Yeah. And it was a good, it's an extension of what I was saying earlier, that even at this point, they don't see this old couple as really being that dangerous.
Yeah.
And so he's more like, oh, like, what is this lady doing in the middle of the street? And he, like, is pretty aggressive toward her because she's trying to, like, get affection from him. And then the way that she just stabs him out of nowhere, like, that's when it shows how dangerous this situation really is.
Yeah.
And it's not even like this was, you know, the first time for them, which goes into what I was saying about building the lore, because Jenna Ortega winds up locked in the basement where she finds that, like, hitchhiker. You know, there's this whole, like, subplot about this missing person.
Right.
And they find, like, his car in the swamp.
Just like Psycho.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. I didn't put that together. And he's like chained up and clearly has been like tortured and abused down in the basement. So there's definitely like something going on with this fucking old couple.
Yeah. That when she finds him, it is so brutal. Like the makeup they did everywhere is just insanely brutal and disturbing.
Yeah. And that's when you get the classic scream, which I've seen that still like all over the fucking place on the internet. It's very classic.
Yeah, I have to say, like, it is really incredible having, like, two incredible scream queens here. Because that scream is, like, iconic now. And then the same with Mia Goth. Like, oh, my God. Yeah.
They do a good job, like, playing up those two parts. And, it's effective. It's such a good... it's so, like, genre-specific. Mm-hmm. And they nail that. And they, again, they're very self-aware with that. And was this one of like the breakout roles for Jenna Ortega?
I think so. It might be a combination of Wednesday and this.
Well, that was after this, right?
I know, but I mean like her rise to fame. I feel like there was more of like a almost PG-13 fandom that kind of like boosted her fame too. And I think now she's in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
So she's really like...
She's all over. She's in Scream.
Yeah, she's really establishing herself in the horror community, and I love to see it.
But I was going to say that almost plays into the themes of the movie, the way she's like catapulted off of this movie.
Yeah, same with Mia Goth.
That's true. Yeah.
Like Mia Goth became like a fashion icon after
That's true. It's interesting. It's almost like breaking the fourth wall with that. But it's just part of like the... mythology behind these movies and what makes them so interesting and exciting. And it's like I said, I would love to see more of this. Horror is like such a good space for telling these kind of super interesting stories. It's something that's like, it's hard to even put into words that I've been feeling a while about just not only how broad that the genre is, but how it I feel like when people get upset about Hollywood and Marvel movies and, you know, how the death of the theater and all that stuff, it feels like even in the midst of all that, horror as a genre has so much room to grow and to express like interesting ideas. And I feel like that's a space that's like thriving.
Yeah.
And I've thought that a lot, that like as an indie horror fan, especially, it's like, no, I'm eating good right now. Yeah. I'm good.
Definitely am just so impressed. The past couple of years have really had like so many breakout directors and a lot of films that just they lend to like this high art aesthetic, but yet still being so terrifying, like in this new way. There's just a lot happening right now. And I think it's if you think that horror is boring right now or that you can't find anything to watch, like you're literally not looking. Because there's a lot of good stuff, and especially this film, just the compositions in all of the cinematography are just, it's just like new iconic scenes. Like I see them screenshotted all the time, all over the internet.
I didn't even mention that it's part of why like I'm such a Ty West fan, like the way he handles editing and stuff. I'm not really the most knowledgeable person to talk about this, but like editing good, photography good.
Just for a second, like the editing is, it's like fresh. The way that he handles all of this,
there's certain scene transitions where like it'll flash back and forth between the two. It's like these interesting choices that just they keep it really fresh and fun to watch. And it's just a lovely fucking, I don't even have the words. It's just very good. I literally don't. One thing I noticed editing this is like I repeat myself a lot because I don't think I have very extensive vocabulary. I'll probably have to work on that.
I totally get what you're saying because I feel like this goes back to like the 2000s era of horror where there was a lot of the compositions were boring. They were kind of like straight on, like you get what you get. And I think what's really cool with what's happening now is there's a lot of revisiting like the basics, like storyboarding your movie and, you know, getting a good soundtrack and, you know, like really putting the time and effort to have like the whole crew and cast like come together and make this like piece of art.
True.
So.
But yeah, and it just sucks that, you know, I hope more people can get on the bandwagon because we were trying to see In a Violent Nature.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That was like not playing anywhere. And we found it at one theater. It was there for 2 weeks. And then we were like, okay, we can finally watch it. We have a free weekend. And it was not in theaters anymore. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, it's upsetting. Like, being in the area we're in, there's not a lot of like demographic for these movies, I think.
Well, it's still like, when you look at the other stuff that they're playing in the theaters, yeah. It's like, what, like, who's going to see this? You know, like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I just wish that more people would get on the bandwagon and realize, like, there's still good film coming out. You know, you just gotta look maybe in this different area.
Yeah, I think with a lot of, like, mainstream movies and, like, movie theaters, it seems like they don't really understand, like, the magic of horror and, like,
yeah.
How great all of these movies can be. Like, there's still this weird stigma on, like, horror movies and, I don't know, they're not really getting the credit they deserve.
I think that's, like, the tale as old as time.
Yeah.
But it's definitely coming around now, which is good.
There definitely is, like, it seems to be, like, a boom in horror right now. Like, a lot of people are talking about it. But
yeah.
Theaters aren't catching up to it.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
But anyways, still very excited to see Maxine, mm-hmm. See where that goes. I've deliberately haven't been, like, keeping up on it because I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
So I know very little about what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah, I haven't even watched a trailer, I don't think, of it. I want to just go in completely blind.
Yeah, we're going to definitely try to see that the weekend it comes out and hopefully do an episode.
Yeah, I do want to just quickly touch on, we did talk about it a little bit, but the different nods to iconic horror movies in this, because there's The Shining with Jenna Ortega when she's looking, she had to like axe out the door, do the Here's Johnny shot, and then Psycho, of course, with the car in there. And I do think that possibly, I don't know the actress's name, but the actress that played the blonde character.
Yeah, I don't know.
She had sort of like a Marion Crane-esque like hairstyle. I don't know if that was like a nod to that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And then, of course, we already covered all the Texas Chainsaw. Well, there was the one scene where Maxine is pulling out of the farmhouse in the truck, and it's kind of like a very like low, like dusk scene instead of like in Texas Chainsaw when it was like a sunset and he's with the chainsaw and everything.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a nod to that shot as well. Just the way the roads were and everything.
He seems very aware of like the imagery that he's wielding.
Oh yeah.
It is also interesting that you realize like neither of the villains gets killed by the protagonist.
Oh yeah.
They basically kill themselves.
Yeah.
Like the guy has a heart attack and then Pearl, when she shoots the shotgun, it like throws out her hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting too.
Yeah.
It really does make them feel like so threatening and dangerous, even
but
though
the
they're
end,
so frail.
Yeah, they're just old people.
Yeah. I think that's all I got. We still gotta go watch Pearl again. I'm very excited. We only saw that once. Did you have anything else?
No.
You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghostbeast Pod. Most social platforms, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd. We're going to add this to our list of everything we covered. Would you put this above or below Leave the World Behind?
Above.
About Abigail?
Above.
The Conference?
Above.
Color Out of Space?
Above.
No One Will Save You?
Above.
Psycho?
I don't know.
Above,
yeah.
Godzilla Minus One.
Oh. Godzilla Minus One is always my hang up.
I know. It's hard to beat Godzilla.
It was.
Listen, this is a Godzilla household, but I would support putting it above Godzilla.
Yeah, I think it might be above Godzilla.
That puts it at number 4 on our list.
Oh, wow.
We'll see where Pearl goes. But you can also contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. If you have any recommendations or upcoming movies that you're excited to see. I know we want to see Long Legs really bad. Yes. Alien Romulus looks really good. Terrifier 3, of course. Smile 2. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff coming, but yeah. I want to know what other like big horror movies people are like have high hopes for.
Yeah. I want to hear things coming out of the festival circuit too. If people are excited about like a movie they saw, like unfortunately we aren't able to get to a lot of the festivals, but you know, I want to hear the hype.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye.